All right. FritzbergenBloodFaith.com, September 19th, 2023. So listening to one of my favorite news sources is a podcast by Steve Bannon, and he usually starts off with a cold open recording and playing back what kind of the mainstream media plays, CNN, MSNBC, folks like that. And it's stunning to me the competing versions of truth out there. There's competing versions of truth about, for example, the 2020 election. And there's this worship of this thing called democracy, even though I've opined many times on this show that we really have no say in our government. We really have no say in our policies. We really have no say in the direction of this country as average citizens. We have a system where you have two competing parties, and that's it. Forget your third parties. I've been through that. The laws are very restrictive on any competition to the D and the R club. I've opined many times on the show about how it doesn't matter how you vote. Nobody voted for transsexualism in kindergarten, but it's there. Nobody voted for homosexual marriage, but it's there. Nobody voted for Agenda 2030, but it's there. I've done three podcasts on Agenda 2030. It's real. It's not a conspiracy theory. Your government agencies are promoting it. And they are advancing the UN agenda, and the UN agenda is being advanced by certain parties out there, private parties, some government parties that are interested in using that as a cover and a foil for their nefarious activities. Of course, they think their activities are good. But Agenda 2030 is absolutely real. Look it up. Look it up. Just Google it. And your government, the United States government, is very active in promoting that. They back up the United Nations, UN human rights. It's very interesting. I read through that today. And, the UN human rights, you have an absolute right to whatever religion you want. And you have an absolute right for freedom of speech. There's a codicil at the very end. He says, but none of your rights, can offend any other people or inspire disrespect for any other people or whatnot. Well, that's kind of impossible if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus Christ, ask Stephen, ask Peter, ask Paul, ask Moses, ask the prophets, ask Jeremiah. They said things that fundamentally offended people, so much so that they were murdered or they tried to murder them. So, we have a problem. And you see that today. You can say whatever you want, but if you say the wrong things, we're going to deplatform you, demonetize you. We'll throw you in jail. We'll throw you in the jail for having the wrong opinion on the 2020 election. Now, how do you get out of this? Well, I have one simple idea. I've talked about this before. I mean, let's just say that Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and the usual suspects, they're all on the Antichrist side. Let's say a certain other class of people out there is extraordinarily powerful in manipulating our institutions, our news media, our universities. By the way, not enough gets talked about at the universities. We act as if these are somehow above the fray. And in many ways, the universities are the belly of the beast. They are seminaries. They impose and advance certainly a worldview. You can call it a religion. I don't see much difference. And go try to have an honest conversation about things in a university. Been there, done that. Got the PhD. They will crush you. They will destroy you. You will not get tenure. If you have tenure, they're going to figure out a way to drive you out anyway. Your grants will drive you. You can't be a member. You can't have opinions that I have in a university. You can't be a professor there. Even though I'm fully qualified to be a professor in a university, I can't. It's a closed system. It's a cult. It's a religion. Is there an alternative? Now, you could say, okay, look, Fritz, you got your podcast. That's an alternative. You got so-and-so's got their podcast, and somebody else has a podcast, and somebody else has a video channel. And that's all true, and that's all good, and that's where it starts. But I've told you, and I've said this before, the preachers in the pulpit are the weapons of mass destruction of this existential war. But they refuse to join the fray. They refuse to get involved. They refuse to participate. They want to sit it out because they're afraid. They want to sit it out because they're scared. They want to sit it out because it's dangerous. They want to sit it out because it's risky. They want to sit it out because they know without a shadow of a doubt what will happen to them if they come out and say a third of what I say on this podcast. They'll be destroyed. I mean, that's the fear. But let me tell you something. I'm not destroyed. I'm still here. I'm still talking. I still have an opinion. And honestly, I mean, if you can read what they have to say about me, they're stunned that I'm still around. You have to do what you're called to do. You have to do what you're supposed to do. You have to open up your mouth and speak. The greatest form of bravery is opening up your mouth and speak. Speaking. And what are the pastors called to do but speak? And there's entire denominations. I mean, I can go into the denominations that are antichrist and corrupted by the world. They're essentially, they've joined the wrong side, and they can gussy themselves up with crosses all they want. I would remind you that there's a certain group of people who call themselves Jews, and they lay some claim to Moses and the prophets, yet they've utterly overwritten Moses and the prophets with their man-made traditions. The Christian church, the Protestant church, the Catholic church, to a very, very great extent, has done the same thing. And so you have churches promoting the rainbow situation, promoting homosexuality, promoting people that are contrary to Jesus Christ. So that's a problem. But there's pastors out there, and they're going to have to find their voice. And I'm telling you, I'm flat out telling you, I know what's going on. I know what's happening. I know the Holy Spirit is working on the hearts of men. I know the Holy Spirit's working on the hearts of these pastors. And, you know, they're going to go one way or the other. And many of them have decided to keep quiet. The average pastor, I think, they'll dabble in a little of this, they'll dabble in a little of that, and you think they're brave if they say homosexuality is wrong. Everybody gives them a golf clap. Oh, he's so brave. He's against homosexuality. And or something like that. And what I'm saying, you've heard what I've had to say. We are in an existential fight. And Satan and his synagogue and his tribe and his children, his Satan's little babies, are love a Christian church that loves them. Loves a Christian church that will stay out of the political fray because we're above it all. Our kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom is of a different realm. And we're going to focus on eternal life and morality. They have no problems with a church like that. And they will give you the golf clap, and they'll go to the interfaith prayer breakfast with you. And you say, you know, you're a Christian loving man because you got a soup kitchen. We don't need any more soup kitchens. We don't need any more Goodwills or used clothing stores. We're in a fight for what is true. What is true in the world? What is true in reality? And what the church has done over centuries is surrender the field. We've simply backed off and said, we're not going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about things that don't offend the Antichrist. And when we talk about an Antichrist, it's a theoretical person that might be coming someday or is coming someday. When we talk about the beast, it's a theoretical beast that's got 10 horns. It's going to crawl up out of the ocean somewhere. And we talk about the 666, and we try to respell people's names. All that's safe. Satan loves that stuff. Get your eye off the ball. You're chasing ghosts. And literally in our kindergartens, in our grade schools, you've got, I don't know what to call them, these hideous people. You can say it nicely and call them a drag queen, but they're indoctrinating your children. Not only your children, your neighbor's children. This is evil. This is fundamentally evil. And you've got a state like California that's just passed laws saying we can take your kids away from you if you're not on board with their gender reassignment. This is evil. This is evil as Moloch, as evil as Baal, as evil as Astaroth. And oh, let me tell you, there's a lot of churches in California. A lot of churches down there. Oh, God's coming soon. Jesus is coming back soon. It's getting so bad. Jesus is coming back soon. We're going to get... And it's like, how about getting in your pulpit? You're going to have to put your life on the line, preacher. I'm just telling you. You're going to have to put your life on the line. You're going to have to dig down and figure out who the real enemy is. You're going to have to figure out that the enemy is the same enemy that Jesus Christ had, that Stephen had, that Paul had, that Peter had, that John had, that Jeremiah had. You're going to have to name the synagogue of Satan. You're going to have to name the children of the devil instead of siding with them. And you're going to have to come out and say things like, you know what, we need to build Christian nations, because if you don't, this is what you end up with. You need to fight against global empires, including that of the United States. Because what happens? You can read about the story of the Persian Empire in the book of Esther. Evil people take over. If you have 100 churches, 1,000 churches, let's say, in the city of Los Angeles, and every pastor got up and started speaking with substance, that's your alternative form of communication. That's the original alternate media. That's your original alternate media from 2,000 years ago. And guess what? The same jokers are the enemy. Did they not go to Peter and say, did we not order you to speak no more in this man's name? And you got the same enemy today. People come to you, can't say this, you can't say that. That's hate speech. That's misinformation. That's false news. Same people, man. I'm telling you, it's the same people. But we got this false idea out there that we can't offend. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to offend this group. We don't want to offend that group. We don't want to be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. And so the church is neutered. The pastor in the pulpit is so brainwashed that they can't even comprehend a gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that might offend somebody. And so I'm just some guy, I'm just some grandpa behind a microphone trying to do my part. And like I've said before, if the scriptures don't say what I say, they say, tell me. I got people every once in a while that come out and say, oh, well, you know, you can't say that. You're anti-Semitic. John 8:44, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, 1 Thessalonians 2:14-16, and on. The whole book of Esther. Yeah, we're not turning this around until the preachers get involved. And they don't want to get involved because it's going to cost them. It may cost them their church. It may cost them their lives. It may cost them their retirement. It may cost them their money. It's going to cost them. I'm telling you, it ain't going to turn around until the pastors get involved and the preachers get involved. And oh, you're going to be hated. You will be hated. You will be hated. For how long have we heard this idea? Well, we want a New Testament church. We want New Testament Christianity. But when you're faced with it, when we're faced with it, we really don't. We don't want to be hated. We want to be loved by the enemy. We want to be loved. We want this interfaith coalition of peace and harmony. And I'm telling you, James 4:4. You want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Some verses say at enmity, which is the same word that's used in Genesis 3:15. Between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The hatred that God put there. And let me tell you something. Pastors can be traitors. Ask Judas Iscariot. Pastors can be traitors. Judas sided with you-know-who. I wrote a fictional interview of Judas Iscariot. You can see it at bloodandfaith.com. And I guarantee you, he didn't go down there to talk to those people thinking, we're gonna go and murder Jesus. Bible says that. He says, oh my God. He says, I finally realized what he did. And he met a very vicious and untimely death. Some scriptures say he hung himself. Others say he fell on the ground and his guts burst out. Well, maybe he hung himself and then the rope broke and he fell on the ground and his guts burst out. I don't know. Probably had it all justified in his mind. All justified. Well, you know, we have to be reasonable. We can't be too extreme. You know, God loves everybody. We need some more unity here. This is tearing society apart. I'm going to try to be the bridge and overcome the hate. What was the 30 pieces of silver about? You know, it's just like it was a goodwill gesture on their part. It was available to all of us. We're just trying to, yeah. We've been through a lot. Let me tell you something. If he ever gets his chance, I mean, it was fictional. Read it. Interview with Judas Iscariot, bloodandfaith.com. I guarantee you he's got a good story. Guarantee you. So does every pastor out there that sides with the enemy, that's friends with the world. Every one of them has a good story. But we're passive. We sit there and we look into the heavens and wonder when God's going to do something. And God's up in the heavens staring down at us. He says, when are you going to open up your mouths? I've told you who the enemy is. I've told you what they do. I've told you their tricks. I've told you their TTPs. I've told you what kind of society they work best in. You don't want that because somebody's going to call you racist, sexist, or homophobic and anti-Semitic. You're unwilling. That terrifies me vastly more than straightening out who won the election of 2020. That terrifies me a lot more than getting the election won in 2024. I'm telling you, until the pulpits come alive and men are literally willing to lay their lives down and say what Jesus Christ said, the most controversial and hated things that Jesus Christ said and that are said in the Holy Scriptures. We're not getting out of this. And we are literally good for nothing except to be cast out and trampled under the feet of men. That's where we're at in the United States of America. And it's because of the pulpit. I'm not going to blame Satan's synagogue. I'm not going to blame the devil's little babies. I'm not going to blame the Republicans or the rhinos or the Democrats. I'm going to talk to the people in the pulpits. And I'm just telling you, your life is on the line. Your parishioners' lives are on the line. Their children's lives are on the line. Their grandchildren's lives are on the line. When's the last pastor was stoned to death by the children of the devil? When's the last time y'all got beaten? There's this dude in Canada. There's one dude in Canada. He's been trussed up, and they went kinetic on him, been thrown in jail a couple of times. How come we don't have 10,000 pastors in the United States like that? I forget his name. But he's up in Canada. Oh, we're gonna go take a knee with whatever group is in fashion. Because you won't. You know my message. Hey, let me change subjects a little bit. I know this is a tough thing to hear. The United States is at war with Russia. You've noticed that? They don't try to hide it anymore. Jens Stoltenberg, head of NATO, comes out and he says this is going to be a long war we have with Russia. Long war. Miley comes out and says it's going to be a long war. United States votes billions and billions and billions, increases the number of weapons, types of weapons. Oh, but we're not involved with the war with Russia. What do you think if you're Russia? What's your opinion if you're in this situation? Do you think the United States is not at war with Russia? Russia's been very clear. The United States is at war with Russia. They've been very clear. Lavrov just, every week he comes out, the United States is at war with Russia. People get lied to so much every single day, all day long, through the quote-unquote news media, through the propaganda arm of the synagogue of Satan. And the pastors are pulpit silent. And every time I look, I just look, I said, we keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. How do you take a country seriously like Ukraine when they got some transsexual as their spokesperson? You just got to look back and say, dude, stop everything. Just stop. And you got literally a TV comedian that's the president who campaigned on an anti-war slogan, no war with Russia, no war with Russia, no war with Russia. As soon as he gets in, he's at war with Russia. Are people just, are we that glazed over in our eyes and our minds? You know, the seas don't protect us anymore. I've been, well, you can read this. The seas and the oceans are no longer barriers. They're vectors of attack. According to the leading military people in the United States government, generals, four-star generals. World War I, World War II, you know, it was a big boundary to cross. You know, radar was just coming into being. You didn't have ICBMs. You didn't have nuclear weapons until the end of the World War, which the United States used on a country that was, by all intents and purposes, already defeated, utterly defeated. Japanese were, by all intents and purposes, defeated. We didn't occupy the islands of Japan, but they were defeated. And the United States chose to use nuclear weapons on a defeated enemy. Don't have any illusions in your mind about the willingness of human beings to use nuclear weapons on other people. Have no illusions about that. I understand that they haven't been used since 1945. But have no illusions about the potential and the evil in the heart of man and the ability to justify whatever they do. I don't think the story has been written on this COVID jab. But I think I would bet every dollar I have that it's worse than what you could even imagine. And they'll sit there and they'll lie and they'll lie and they'll lie and they'll lie to you about the COVID jab. Oh, it's good for you. It's healthy for you. It will keep you from getting sick. You've seen it. They lied and lied and lied and lied. And they continue to lie. Why do you believe them on anything? Why do you believe a government agency on any issue whatsoever by now? Or the news magazines or the news shows. Why do you believe a word they breathe? There's only one word that you can believe. It's the Holy Scriptures. You want to know about world empires? Listen to my podcast, bloodandfaith.com. I've been talking about world empires, the beasts of Daniel, the beast of Revelation, the book of Esther, Satan's foot soldiers, Satan's special forces, Satan's little babies in his synagogue. Oh, but we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting flesh and blood. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So who done the whooping on Jesus' back with the lash? Was that just some spirit in the sky? Who accused him? Who brought him before Pilate and accused him? Was that just some spirit out there? Who threw Peter in jail? Just some spirit? Who came up with a plot to murder Paul? To murder him? Those men that took the oath. Was that just some ghosts out there? Some spirits out there? Who did the apostles speak to? Who did they talk to? Who were their enemies? Who accused them? There's a lot of room for growth, but it's going to require bravery on the part of the pastors. And I'm telling you, I'm just flat out telling you, I'm telling you, this country's not in a good position, and I don't think we're winning. I mean, some people are putting up a great fight, a brave fight, but I'm telling you, there's more trannyism today than there was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 8 years ago. It never got better. They're more powerful now than they've ever been. And the weapon of mass destruction for the cause of righteousness is silent. The pastors and the pulpits are silent because it's too dangerous. It's too controversial. Ain't nothing going to turn us around unless the pastors wake up. I'm telling you. I don't care who's involved. I don't care who's organizing. I don't care how good they are and how right they are. If the pastors don't get involved in this fight, it's already over. I mean, you think it's going to stop at California? They're going to take your kids away because you won't let them transition. You think it's going to stop there? Oh, I'm in a red state. We would never vote for it. Honey, let me tell you something. You don't have to vote for it. Have you not learned that lesson? Nobody voted for trannyism. Nobody voted for homosexual marriage. Nobody voted for Agenda 2030. Nobody voted to end internal combustion engines, but that's the track. Everybody, that's the track they're on. I'm telling you, unless those pulpits ignite, there's no hope for this country. FritzBergen, bloodandfaith.com.